Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. I have to wear a lot of makeup for my day job, but when I'm off camera, I'm all about ease and simplicity. Thrive Cosmetics has a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look. One of my go-tos is their Brilliant Eye Brightener. It's ridiculously easy to put on, and it gives my eyes the little perfect pop in seconds. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/off-camera. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/off-camera for 10% off your first order.
Like the first time I met Angelica Houston, I was like, she's so beautiful. I just want to like cut her face. And so Sam laughed. He's like, oh, you should tell her that. Well, I thought he was being serious. And so then he's like, Angelica, this is Leslie. I was like, hi, you're so beautiful. I just want to cut your face. And then she did this to me. Oh, she repelled from me.
Somebody going to cue me or do I cue myself?
Cue yourself.
Okay. Hey there, everybody. We're back with another episode of season 2 of Let's Talk Off Camera. So let's get talking. Woo! Oh my gosh. This is a very big deal today. We are talking with actress Leslie Bibb. I am in love with her. She is my girl crush. She's my get out of jail free card. If you feel like you've seen her in everything, it's because you have seen her in everything. Talladega Nights, my personal favorite. The Iron Man franchise, Law Abiding Citizen, No Good Deed, Tag, The Lost Husband, About My Father, Bob De Niro, for God's sake. Oh my God, look how pretty she looks.
You're so nice.
Leslie Bibb, one of the great American beauties. You really are.
Oh, you're nice. Hey, congrats on your podcast.
Oh, thanks. We love it. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. I really want to get into White Lotus, but before we get into White Lotus, I want to tell...
I can't really talk about
it.
I know.
We're not going to talk about it. We're just going to talk about it a little.
just the title.
We're just going to talk about the title and Thailand.
I leave tomorrow.
You leave tomorrow? Did you get... Now, do you have to have special shots and everything?
I got typhoid, adult polio, and tetanus.
I'm glad you got
that. And then... I'm taking some malaria pills.
Yes. Okay, good. You should also take Cipro with you.
Well, Kelly, we should have done this interview 4 days ago because now it's too late for me to do
it. We can get it to you.
But you know what? I saw this thing on Instagram. Some guy was like, I went to Bangkok. I went to a hospital here and he did all of his tests. It was like this beautiful hospital. And he's like, I spent $329, but would have cost me $10,000 in the States. And they served him food. Which I was like, that's amazing.
I'm very excited for you. You know,
Thank you for saying that.
I like to talk about when I discovered people. I always discover people after the rest of the world has discovered them. Remind me to tell you about the time I discovered Sebastian Maniscalco 10 years after everyone was like.
He said he had a good time on your podcast. He did this with you for About My Father.
Yes, we did. We talked about it. And I was like, when I discovered you, and I tell this whole story, he's like, yeah, I was pretty big in the stand-up scene for about 10 years before that. And I go, okay, but this is when I discovered you. So when I discovered you, Leslie, was this iconic turn in Talladega Nights. It's a movie that whenever it's on, I stop what I'm doing and I watch.
So good, right?
I say to Mark at least 15 times a week, I'm a driver's wife. I don't work. I say it all the time because he's like, did you do this or did you do that? And I go, I'm a driver's wife. I don't work. It's my favorite. It's the greatest line.
Oh my God. It's so good. It's so good. Oh yeah, when he leaves me, I say that. When I'm leaving him, because I've gone with Cal.
Yes.
I'm not going back to whatever the Wizard's Den or wherever I like worked or stripped or wherever.
What's so funny is of these like NASCAR drivers come on our show. Like we get all of them during the NASCAR series. And they quote that movie like it's the Bible. And they'll say, that's my smoking hot wife. And I was like, oh, what is your wife doing? He's like, well, she's a driver's wife. She doesn't work. It's just so funny that they all like quote the movie the way I do.
Of that movie. I feel really lucky that I got that part because I was not like a comedy girl or anything like that. And I just am so grateful that Adam McKay and Will dug what I was doing. It was like being in the AP class of comedy with those guys.
Yeah.
And like Will is one of the nicest human beings on the planet. And he's so funny. I mean, did you watch the Golden Globes?
No, I was on an airplane during the Golden Globes.
Okay. So I've been fortunate enough to work with Will, and I'm then so fortunate to get to work with Kristen Wiig.
Yes, right.
And who has also become a good friend of mine. And Wiig told me, she's like, we're going to do this thing. It is so funny.
Is it epic?
It's epic.
Yeah.
It's epic.
It's just pretty funny because she was like, they're so both of them creative that they created this because Kristen had a song on her phone that she was making, that she was just loving because it was so weird. When you hear this song, you're like, that's the song. And the fact that they committed to this bit, and it is so hysterical. And if you see Kristen dance, she's like a weird like spider when she's dancing. Both of them together are like the chef's kiss. They make it look so easy. Like to be funny is it?
No, but it's hard. It's so hard to be funny.
And they create like incredible nuance to it. It's like they make it look so simple, but it's really high level. Like hard work.
I feel that way about you though.
Thank you.
When I saw you in Talladega Nights, I was like, that girl is magic. She's magic.
Aww. Thank you for saying that.
I want to go over some of the people you've worked with because, like, I mentioned Talladega Nights just because, like, that is my jam. But, of course, you're in the Iron Man franchise, Law Abiding Citizen, No Good Deed, Tag, The Lost Husband, About My Father. You worked with Robert De Niro, Carol Burnett, Scorsese, Clint Eastwood. Do you ever get, like, fearful? Like, I'm very intimidated easily. I get very starstruck.
I do too.
You do? Okay. So tell me like...
Oh, I say like the most fucked up thing.
Tell
me. Because I get like so excited. Like the first time I met Angelica Houston, I was like, oh God, I said the dumbest thing. Sam was doing a movie with her and I love Angelica Houston.
Incredible.
I just think like, she's so incredible. She played Sam's mom in this movie, Choke.
She's talking about Oscar winner Sam Rockwell.
Yes. And Sam and I were just starting to date. Like, we've maybe been dating like 2 months. And I flew to Sundance to see him. I like to run in to see the movie and changed in the car, gave some driver an extra $20. I was like, you just take my bags to the hotel and just drop it. Didn't steal my bags, did it? Like in a taxi cab.
That's amazing. It's like amazing.
And then saw the movie, and Angelica's incredible in the movie. Sam's incredible in the movie. Clark Gregg directed it. And Sam, I was like, I turned and I was like, Jesus God, I love Angelica. She's so beautiful. I just want to like cut her face. Like I just, just punch her, cut her, like, you know, not really, but
no,
like,
but I understand
she just makes me crazy. And like, I just love her. And so Sam laughed. He's like, oh, you should tell her. You should tell her that. Well, I thought he was being serious. And so then I went to go meet her at the party. I don't know. We did a shot of like tequila. And then I walked in. He's like, Angelica, this is Leslie. I was like, hi, you're so beautiful. I just want to cut your face. And then she did this to me.
Oh,
she repelled from me. I was like, what's wrong with you? Sam just like, I didn't mean you were really going to say
you
that.
Told
I was like,
you told me to say it.
And then like 6 months later, I saw her again. I was like, I don't really want to cut your face. I'm just saying.
Like, I meant I want to punch myself in the face because I love you so much.
Yes. Because I can't take it. She laughed. But I said, I know I scared you. I mean, I scare her. I scare people. Now I think I'm trying to not be such a nerd about it. But I just did work with Clint Eastwood and that was awesome. Yeah. And then I was like,
what's he like?
He's incredible. He's 92.
Oh my gosh.
He's 92 years old and still making a movie. And we got shut down because of the strike.
Yeah.
And then when I went back, anytime we had a break, I just went and sat next to him and I was asking him questions. And I said, what was the moment for you that you decided to start directing? I'm sort of fascinated with directing and like how an actor decides. I said, in so many movies. And he said, I went to a saloon. He said, I went to a saloon on Sunset Boulevard.
He's literally living in a Western movie at all times, even in LA.
Yeah. He said there was a woman there who would come in and she said to him, I've written a script. And he was like, okay. And the next time he saw her, she had it and she gave it to him and he read it. And he said to her, I think it should take place, not in LA, which is where she had it, but I think it should take place like up near where I have my, my house in near Carmel. And he said, and I want to direct it. And it was Play Misty. And I was like, are you talking
about Play Misty for me? I was just going to say, was it Play Misty for me?
It was Play Misty for me, which is the first movie he directed. And there was a script. And then I did a deep dive on it because I was so fascinated by the story. I thought that was such a cool story.
It's such that movie is crazy. It's the original stalker story.
It's the original, I'm not going to be ignored. Fatal Attraction.
Yes, it is. The original Fatal Attraction.
Isn't that Jessica Walters who plays woman.
Is it Jessica Walters?
The woman who's
where she's like, I love the way your eyes crinkle up when you smile at me. And he's just so creepy.
Will you play Misty for me when she's calling in on the radio? It's so good. And it's scary. And
so scary.
So he hired that woman to do rewrites on his character for the Dirty Harrys.
No kidding.
Wow.
Holy smokes.
Pretty cool.
That's amazing.
So I don't know. Now I used to be scared. It's kind of with Bob on About My Father. I was when am I going to get this close to Bob De Niro? Bob,
she means Robert De Niro.
She calls him Bob.
For the listeners at home.
And I just sat next to him and just was asked him questions. And just, I had my birthday party and he came to my birthday party. And he's so sweet.
Wait,
and
so what incredible. Did he say? Was your birthday party at home or at a restaurant?
At the Chelsea Hotel.
Okay, the Chelsea Hotel. That's his stomping grounds, right? Okay, so you're at the Chelsea Hotel. Bob De Niro shows up at your birthday party. What, is there a moment where you're well, he's here now. What do we do with him?
No, because he's so cute and he's so sweet and he's so lovely. He's I think people treat him like a Fabergé egg.
Yes.
And the thing is I found on About My Father, when we were there, we were all going to try to go to dinner. And I was like, are we going to treat him? And then I walked over and I was like, hey, Bob, we want to go to dinner. Do you want to go with the dinner with the whole cast? And he was like, yeah, that's a great idea. He's he's a very sweet, incredible. I sometimes ask him for advice. He's been through everything and he knows everything. And he's a brilliant actor and he's really forthcoming. And what I find the most charming thing about him is he's an incredible father.
Mm.
He brought Julian with him to the party and that's one of his sons.
Yeah.
And I said, Julian, how many times, Julian was just on Broadway. And I said, how many times did your dad come see you in the play? And he said, and Bob goes I think he said 4 times or 5 times.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
He went to previews, opening night, closing night, and he came to it. I mean, that's a really
a sign good in dad. Sydney Brustein's window.
Yeah. That.
Yeah, that's so, that does not trip off the tongue with any sort of
tongue.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just feel like I get too scared to
to remember that these are regular people.
Yeah. And then like, or like you're going to say something and they're going to like, be like, shut up, nerd. But like, beat it, nerd. But like, and I'm like, well, if they say beat it, nerd, then they'll say beat it, nerd. And then, but I'd rather like see first if they're going to do it. Cause I think it's cool when you have like amazing artists like that who can impart any wisdom.
Oh my gosh.
To help.
Yeah.
Sam's really good at that. Like at asking people for their wisdom and getting their, you know, and like,
but because don't I think you think it's that actually, men in general have an easier time having normal conversations with people?
Well,
like women, we tend to get in our heads a lot. I find like we think about, well, what if I say this and they get offended? Or what if I say that and they think I'm a nerd? Or what if they say that? And men will just, don't carry any of that. They go forth. I mean, I'm gender stereotyping, but I think it's.
No, I think there's a definite, like, I know what you're saying. And I know there is like an instilled sort of confidence in that. I am trying to be better about it because I think the deeper thing is it's about vulnerability. And something for me personally, I think in life right now, I think I've been sort of taking care of my, like doing my own thing since I was like 16, you know, I've been sort of like paying my way, working my way since I was 16 and being like, I'm going to push the rock up the hill. I'm going to do this. I'm going to push it. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to do it. And I'm just tired of pushing. And so I'm really interested in softening right now in life and being like, all right, let's just see if this is enough.
Yeah.
And like, am I enough enough? And can me being this be enough? And because I get a little bit like feeling like I gotta tap dance and be sunshiny for everybody because I want to be the good girl, or it's gotta be perfect, or it's gotta be that. And then afterwards, I just get resentful that I feel like I've like been through all of these, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then I'm like, well, I can't resent them. I'm the one, you're the dumbass who did it. You're the person.
You know, it's a shame you're such a talented actress because you would have made a fabulous talk show host. I mean, just describing yourself in that one sentence, I was like, oh, it's a shame. It's a shame.
Do you know what that's like?
I do.
Do you know what that's like?
Yes, I do it all the time. Like I'm constantly.
But you make it seem so effortless.
No, but I think it's part of like, again, I think it's partly just, it comes with being a woman in show business, especially. It's like, you're supposed to look like the swan floating on the surface and underneath you are like churning. You little legs are churning and digging at that water. And on the surface, it just kind of looks serene and, you know, like a halcyon
really
little duck. And instead, you're under that water just pushing those weeds out of the way.
Fighting.
Getting through that quagmire. And, you know, and I just think
that's. I think that there's this thing that, and I don't know who to blame for this. I don't know if it's just society.
Tell me what it is and I'll tell you who to blame.
I really noticed this in it with actresses, like with women, like it was, and with women in general. And you do it now, like it gets so competitive.
Oh yeah.
We get so competitive for the job, for the boy to be this, to be that. And like, there's this infighting and like this competition that I'm like, why is there this, what, when there's enough for all?
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know when that's happened. And now I really am grateful for this, as silly as it sounds, but like this leaning into not be competitive with other people, to feel like if somebody gets a job that I want, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
But I'm
happy for them. Right. Yeah.
And go, it wasn't mine to have. Or something. You know,
I'm
but
like,
this idea,
I'm with you on that. Like, I won't fight with women. I really won't. And if it comes to it, like I will vanish before I will ever, I don't believe in girl on girl crime. I don't like it. I think the media plays into it a lot. I will take myself out of anything if I think it's going to put me in a bad position with my sisterhood. I just won't do it.
that's a beautiful way to lead with. And I just was like, why were we told like go get the job? Yeah. Like, I'm sure I would go on auditions and I would be so nervous that I would sort of look down at my thing and just, cause I was so scared. But also I was like, I felt like I had to get the part because getting the part felt like wanting to be successful, to make my mom happy and to do all of this stuff. I mean, I definitely am ambitious and wanted to succeed, but I didn't understand the whole thing of like it being that there was enough for everybody.
Yeah. There's and, always enough and for like, everybody.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
How was it on your soap opera? Because I know you were on that, your soap for a long time. What was the vibe there? Was that
the vibe
like,
was very,
was it competitive?
No, it was like really great. Like it was a very, it was an ensemble cast. I mean, there were lots of personalities, but it really was like we spent 16 hours a day there. So we kept it like, you can't be fighting all the time. Like people were, for the most part, there's always like one or two, but it was really a very mostly peaceful, like very supportive, loving.
Good.
Yeah. But I lost so many jobs over the years. I used to, I called it like my own personal sport to see how many jobs a year I could lose to Parker Posey. That was like my, I was like I would just write it down, like dear diary, today I lost another movie to Parker Posey.
Who's in the White Lotus.
Who's in the White Lotus.
And then, Kelly.
I'm now completely, I was such a successful actress, I became a talk show host. That's what I like to say.
You are a successful actress.
But was there ever an actor that you specifically found yourself like losing roles to all the time where you're like, oh my God.
I think there's like a whole slew of us that like, you start to just sort of go like, this is the girls in this range. You get clumped in like this group or that group. So Michelle Monaghan is in the White Lotus and we were chatting about it. We were having this conversation. I said, how great is it that like both of us can be in this show at the same time is so cool. There's so many actresses. I always sometimes go, it has nothing to do with talent or how you look or what it is. It's like the director or the producer is like putting together like a sofa and chair and they're like, well, that chaise does not go with my sofa, but oh, that one does, or this dining room table or this, it's like putting together this thing. So I think when you start to go, okay, it's kind of out of your control. Your job is to only go in, do the best job possible, make a choice, do what turns you on, like go, this is what I think is great, do that. And if they fucking dig what I'm serving, then hire me. If they don't, then that wasn't my job.
It's so true.
And,
that's true.
And I don't want to be on a job where they don't dig what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're going to get the job and you're going to be miserable. Mm-hmm. Because then they're going to micromanage.
They're going to make you suffer for it.
And I've had jobs like that where you suffer and you get there and you're like, why did you hire me? You should have hired this person or that person or like, or you know, like. Yeah. I remember I got some movie and literally the guy put me through all of this prosthetics. He's like, I need you to look different. And I was like, this is my face. like I don't know what you thought. Like, I remember Sam was doing a play with Chris Walken and I had flown back and I was like, oh, I think this movie is like, God, this movie is so excited. And I just did all of this prosthetics and Chris goes, we were having a drink at like Bar Central after the show. And Chris goes, let me see. And I had like a prosthetic nose and he had fake teeth. And it was so distracting.
Yeah.
And like, and Chris goes, what is he doing? If you're the character, your character has your face. It just looks like you. Like, and then I was like, I just remember being, I don't know if I backed out of the movie or I think I called him and I said, I think you need somebody else. There's so many great actors, but you need somebody who looks that you're trying to create
a different physical characteristic
physical thing that you liked what I did acting wise. So there's a lovely actress out there who can do that, who fits in your head. that was like sort of empowering. Like he goes, you're the person.
Right.
They look like you.
Did you tell the director, did you say Chris Walken said, I would have dragged Chris Walken right into that room. I would have been like, my friend Chris Walken says you're an idiot. Just tell him, Chris.
Yeah, tell him. Oh my God. He's so cute, Chris Walken. So, I mean, even the fact that you could go like, I asked Chris Walken.
I mean, please.
Advice.
Yeah, sentence is iconic.
Yeah. Sam was talking to him the other day and he put him on speaker and I go, hey, Chris. I'm going. He goes, I can't do a good
job. No, do it. Try. I know what I'm buying my mom friends for Mother's Day. Fiori joggers. Jan is obsessed. My stylist Audrey is obsessed. So I know they're a sure hit. And if any one of my family or friends are listening to this podcast, hint, hint, these would be a great gift for me. They're designed with their dream knit stretch fabric, which I love because they're so ridiculously comfortable, but yet look so good. By the way, they're not just for women. I'm ordering them right now for Mark because Father's Day is right around the corner. No matter how you stay active, running, swimming, yoga, or just running weekend errands, Vuori is for you. Vuori is offering Let's Talk Off Camera with Kelly Ripa listeners 20% off your first purchase. Get some of the most comfy and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/off-camera. That's Vuori.com/off-camera. You'll also enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/off-camera and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Malojo, my production company, is such a small business, so when we hire someone, it makes a huge impact. And Albert, I know you wear so many hats over there, you might not have the time or the resources to hire, but LinkedIn changes all of that. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. So, Albert, the next time we're hiring, if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get qualified candidates within 24 hours. We got Roz, so we know it works. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/off-camera. That's linkedin.com/off-camera to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Sam was talking to him the other day and he put him on speaker and I go, hey, Chris. He was like, you're going to Thailand. It's very exotic. And I was like, it was really cute.
I gotta tell you, your Chris Walken is really good. Like, yes. It's like very exotic.
It's very exotic. And I guess they did deer hunting.
Yeah, they did. Right. I was just gonna say. And well, he would know.
He said, "Yeah, they were in Bangkok." And I said, "How was it?" And he said, "There weren't really any skyscrapers." And I was like, I don't know. I just then get like very romantic to think of like young Chris Walken and young Bob De Niro.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they're so foxy.
Which one of those two guys do you think you would have married? In like, if you were Leslie Bibb, and Sam Rockwell doesn't exist, okay? He doesn't exist.
Okay, he's already gone.
He's already gone.
He doesn't exist. Gone. By the way, he's been gone as soon as you said Deer Hunter 19, right. Whatever, okay. 73
so,
or whatever it is.
So it's,
Sam's gone.
It's Chris,
I don't know.
And Bob, you.
I think I marry Bob and I have an affair with Chris.
Oh, yeah, that's a good call. Yeah.
Why do I have to? Yep. I'm not going to. Yep. And I killed neither one.
No, you don't have to kill them. You can marry one. And
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll marry Bob. But
that's exactly the way I would. That I would do that too. You love that I now put myself there too.
You were doing that today on the show with that movie with Oliver.
Oh yeah, I was talking about the movie Unfaithful with Diane Lane, and how
who's the guy?
Richard
the
guy Gere is the husband, and Olivier
the lover?
Olivier Martinez is the lover. And I was like, just, I mean, except for the pesky murder. Does anybody really lose in this? It's just a win-win-win.
And then Richard Gere kills him, right? And then he wraps him in the
thing. He hits him in the head with the snow globe. Death by snow globe.
Spoiler alert.
Everybody put it down. Oh my God. Did she? Kylie Minogue.
Wait. So it was Kylie Minogue.
Wasn't she with Olivier?
She was with him forever. You know who else was with him? Halle Berry was with him.
Ooh.
Yes.
There's that iconic video, I guess. She was married to Olivier Martinez. I'm not sure.
Albert's fact checking.
So there's an iconic video of Olivier Martinez and the father of her child. One is from Montreal. One is from Paris. And they get into a fist fight on the front lawn. And I guess like the ring camera, the security camera picks it up. And I guess they're shouting at each other in French. And I think Olivier Martinez tells the other guy, "You speak French like a peasant." Pretty sure. If you look it up, you have to Google his name. It's kind of iconic. And I was like, oh, to have these guys having a fist fight over me on my front lawn, I'd be my own TMZ. I'd be out there recording it.
Literally popcorn and drinking a martini. He's like, keep going, boys. My God. I like that he says you speak French.
Like a peasant.
That, by the way, is very French.
It's so French. It is such a French thing to judge other people's French speaking. All right, I want to talk about Palm Royale. Tonight is the season premiere.
Wow.
March 20th.
Your character is bananas.
Yes, your character is bananas. Okay, so.
Wait, have you guys seen
this? Yes.
We're like in unison.
You know, membership to hosting your own podcast means you get advanced screening. I don't want to smoke my fake cigarette, but.
You can pre-binge.
Yes, I get to pre-binge.
You and Kristen Wiig are amazing.
Okay, so.
Thank you so much. I haven't seen it. I'm scared.
The entire cast is, I mean, it's a cast of icons. Laura Dern, Kristen Wiig, you, of course, Ricky Martin's in it, Carol Burnett.
Allison Janney.
Who I swear I was like, if we were neighbors, I know she would be my best friend. I just know that.
Allison Janney is so much fun. She was doing that whole Oscar thing at the same time with Sam. So
was that her I, Tanya?
For I, Tanya.
Yeah, you had her backstage at the Oscars.
Like she is.
She's a good time, Charlie.
She is a good time.
So
fucking,
let's talk about Palm Royale. Tell our listeners about the series from what you can tell us.
This is where I'm not great at my job. Old Jabberjaws can't really do it. So you know who's really good at this? Laura Dern, who is the most she's so eloquent and thoughtful. I just want I don't need like a full cup of her. I just could give me an ounce of Laura Dern. An espresso shot of Laura Dern everybody should have in their life because she's so smart and well-spoken and thoughtful. Yeah. She is a really cool human being. Every time when you just read that, I get chills every time I hear those people getting to do this job. It's amazing.
Did you shoot on location?
No, you're not allowed to shoot in Palm Beach.
What?
Did you know that?
No.
What?
No cameras.
Is that true?
Yeah, you can't film.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't. You. I don't think you're allowed.
Did you go to West?
Literally,
did you go to West Palm?
We shot in Los Angeles.
Oh, amazing!
At Paramount, all over Los Angeles. Yep, it's really interesting because it's sort of the story about Kristen's character who's trying to infiltrate a very elite world and to connect and be a part of something like. We all want to be a part of something, but then you realize that the world is sort of cutthroat.
Yeah, of course.
And she is desperate to infiltrate this world. And then it's just this social ins and out of trying to get into this world. And then she sort of throws a Molotov cocktail into this world and blows it up. And then there's all of these micro stories of what's happening. So it's like this crazy comedy, but then there's also this social commentary about what's happening in the world. And it's set upon, you know, these sort of conservative provincial people who live this very affluent
this
life.
Rarefied world.
They're breathing this rarefied air, but at any point it can be taken all away from you because, you know, social climbing is a slippery slope. But also it's like in this world, 1969, we're landing on the moon. Vietnam is happening. The women's movement is happening. And so I feel like there is this social commentary that you sort of start to sort of peek around, but it's not really, doesn't hit you over the head for that. So it feels like popcorn and deliciousness and will make you laugh. And the costumes so are incredible. Yeah, yeah. And the sets are incredible. I think it's about people who really want to belong and this fear of the imposter syndrome of like, of being enough. And I always sort of found it really interesting because it's at that time, like, you know, women didn't have bank accounts.
I know.
Back then.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. You are just reminded of, wow, it wasn't that long ago that that we didn't have certain things that we sort of take for granted now in the world. And so it's about fitting in. It's about social climbing.
It's diabolical. You know, it's diabolical.
It is diabolical. I mean, Kristen's so funny and crazy. And like,
so are you.
And when you get to the end.
As are you.
But how cute is that Ricky Martin?
Oh,
and how sweet.
I adore him. I've known him. I mean, I've known him a really long time. Like when he was on General Hospital and he was in Les Mis on Broadway.
Oh.
And I remember we were saying, you know, Ricky Martin's going to be a huge star.
That's
like it's like one of those guys where we're like, he's going to transcend soaps and he's going to be a huge star.
He was so cute. We were shooting the pilot and, you know, I felt pressure. I felt nervous. It was like, those are a lot of big actors and it felt like a big show and it felt like an exciting show to get. And I was nervous. I was really nervous. And, you know, sometimes my hands would shake. I was like, I just couldn't shake the nerves out. And we were shooting and Ricky works at the country club that Kristen Wiig's trying to infiltrate. Uh-huh. And so Ricky has to serve her. And I looked over and I was just watching him. He was walking around practicing, just carrying this plate of drinks. And I said, "You're doing an amazing job." And he goes, "I'm so nervous." I said, "Ricky, my hands are shaking. My hands have been shaking." I said, "I am now making a character choice that Dinah holds her martini like a baby bottle because my hands were shaking so much." And so now I had to commit to holding my martini glasses like this.
That's probably how Dinah.
I just did.
But I think Dinah would have.
It probably
Dinah's
is.
Had that she takes a two-handed approach to her martini. She doesn't want to lose a drop.
She's also probably taken a pill. She's had an upper and a down.
Have you read this Vanity Fair article about Palm Beach, the old guard trying to keep out the new guard? I'll send it to you because you don't have to read
please?
It. There's an audio link. And you can listen to the article and just the way it's read, whoever the reader is, the narrator is so brilliant because she's like, Palm Beach's old guard. And I mean, it is just, it's amazing. It's like just.
It's such an interesting world that Palm Beach. And yet it's still there.
Oh,
I mean, I was watching The Real Housewives and Tinsley Mortimer just got, you know, she was going down there with. Whatever, you know, Fluffy, her mom or whatever her mom's name is, you know, lives down there and they're still going down there. And I'm like, oh, wow, it still exists. And then when I heard that you're not allowed to shoot on you, there's no cameras.
Those ladies,
you can't shoot
those
there.
Ladies have sharp elbows.
Very sharp.
Yes.
And they're, yes. And not just because they're very thin.
No. Even though they are.
Even though they are, that too.
So you still are a Bravo super fan, correct?
I am, though I feel a little bit like I have fallen off the wagon a
little
bit.
Well, you've been busy.
With it.
So that's
I've been busy, but also
hard.
Too, sometimes I know, but sometimes I watch it because it, you know, when you are stressed out, sometimes you need to watch something that feels mindless so that you can like just space out.
Yes.
And so sometimes when I watch it, it gets a little too chaotic sometimes. Like,
it makes you feel worse instead of better.
It makes me feel worse. Like, I was like, I can't hear. What am I watching? We're talking about somebody's esophagus?
Like, Beverly Hills.
What am I watching? Like, Andy, why are we watching esophagus gate? Like, what's happening? Like, what if we, but then I see, like, then you have moments where you watch it and, like, you go, Kyle Richards feels like it's so vulnerable. Right. And, like, yep. I can't imagine. Can you imagine if there was a camera on you and somebody, if you and Mark were like, he was driving you fucking bonkers that day?
I mean, don't get me wrong. We have a great marriage. We are very happy people, but we are not like, there's nothing dark sided. There's nothing weird happening. Like, I can't imagine. It would be like watching Mark discuss how he can fix the door latch in the bathroom with nothing more than a toothpick. And me.
Can he come over and fix?
He can fix anything.
Hard door.
He can fix anything.
I find that a very sexy quality in a mate.
I married him for three reasons.
Go.
Number one, he can fix anything with nothing more than a toothpick. And it was passed on to him by his father. It is kind of amazing. I've watched them do extraordinary things. Number two, he can do math in his head. He's math smart.
Do the kids have the math smarts?
One of them has the math smart. The other two are like,
better one than none.
They're like, we take after mom. I'm like, hey, don't disparage me. I have gifts too. And number three, when I said to him when we were dating and he figured out the bill and the tip in his head and how he did that. And I was like, how did you do that? He's like, it's just math. It's just right. He was like, it's just math. I go, I've never met an actor that can do math before. And he goes, well, I'm a really shitty actor. And I just was like, I'm in love with you. My underpants fell off. It was just...
How long have you been married?
Almost 28 years. Is that crazy?
Very cool.
Isn't that nuts?
It's nuts. But it's really beautiful and really cool. And like, you guys seem very, very fucking happy.
We are happy.
You guys make me... You really... Like, you're a couple that when I see you, I'm like, oh, they got it right. In this lifetime, those two souls found each other. Yeah, it's such a beautiful...
We got lucky.
And you have kids. And you still are able to stay connected because sometimes, you know, Sam and I always go like, we don't have kids and we're very, I mean, I still want to throw them out a window sometimes, right. But like, and he, me, but like great, deep affection.
Yeah, it's after that's important.
16 and a half years, like deep, deep, like there's nobody else I want to be in it with than this person. But I always think, oh, we don't have children. So I don't know if it would still be that way. So I think it's so cool that you guys have three adult children that you raised, you stayed connected, you two stayed like a team.
It's the only difference I would say is like, okay, you guys didn't have children, so you don't pee when you sneeze. So that's pretty much.
And that's why she looks
so
but good.
Sometimes I still pee when I sneeze. Sam goes, why do you cough like this? And I go, Sam, shut up. You'll see. Maybe one day you'll cough and something will come out of you.
What is his sexiest quality? Because he's coming on my show tomorrow, so I want to talk to him about what his sexiest part of him is. Look, I know you know that I know that you know how busy we all get. Ollie can help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 years and up. And the new Ollie Brainy Chews support healthy brain function with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Ollie!
Albert, I know you're too busy to be frizzy, so grab Waze new anti-frizz cream. It's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I'm loving it because it helps reduce and repair split ends while quenching my bone dry hair with intense hydration. And during the summer, that's something we could all use. You'll also be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers like I am. My new favorite is their scalp and body scrub. It's a blend of sugar and coconut oil that cleanses, exfoliates, and moisturizes all at once on your scalp and your skin. I'm also really into their wave spray for this summer. It's a weightless, salt-free mist that gives you that just out of the ocean and my hair dried perfectly look. You know, like that look that is so unattainable. It doesn't make my hair crunchy at all, and it's super easy to use. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code OFFCAMERA for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code OFFCAMERA. What is his sexiest quality?
Okay, Sam has a lot of really sexy qualities.
Yeah.
Fixing things is not
okay. Good. He can't fix things. So write that down, can't Albert.
He can't fix anything. He's got a great ass.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to check it out tomorrow. Do I have your permission to check it out?
Oh, he's got it. Yeah, he's got a high water boot.
Okay.
He is like.
Thank you. I'm going to tell him.
He's got a really good butt. Sam is a very good dancer. He's like, he's a remarkable dancer. He's so fun. He makes me feel like I am the funniest, smartest, most beautiful person in the room. Like, he just makes me feel so special.
Oh, and you are, for the record.
But you know what I mean? Like, I was married before, and like, I remember my ex, if I had to do a love scene, he would make me buy him something. And I did it. And I bought it. I remember he was like, you need to buy me a windsurfer. He was like my boyfriend at the time. But
did
like,
you explain like, to him I'm not just, actually having sex with these people?
Yeah, I know. It's just so, but he's so supportive. Yeah. He's a incredibly caring. Mm-hmm. Also too, when I cook for him, it's as if like I've made like, it's always
a
like
Michelin star.
Like he's just, yeah, like he just, I don't know. He thinks I'm great. When you're with him.
When you have a successful couple, you see two people who build each other up and don't tear each other down. That's really, it's not like, if people are like, what's your secret? I'm like, it's not a secret. We support each other. We're not at each other's throats trying to knock the other one off the pedestal. We're trying to.
Don't you think sometimes too, I feel like couples don't even realize it's so sort of subversive, that thing that like.
You're like, ugh.
Even on a subconscious level, people don't realize that they're taking like little stabs at each other. You see couples like sort of just like just a little flip that you.
Jan, who's sitting here with me, Jan and I sort of bonded early in our relationship with each other because we were two women we knew that liked our husbands. Because we would find ourselves in social circles with like this bitch fest about how awful everybody's husbands are. And Jan and I were always like, we like our husbands. We'd be in the corner going, I like my husband. Is that weird to admit in public?
I know. I think the thing is that I now realize that it's something to really be grateful for and to be feel very fortunate, because I think a lot of times people also too, I think people get together and then something shifts and they don't know how to break up, or they feel like they can't break up. And like, and instead it's okay to, I don't know. I think if you're not bringing each other joy, life is so short.
You should
get out, and there's somebody more well-suited for you and him and, or her or whatever. But like, I do think that I used to take it for granted, but I don't take for granted that simple thing of just
the older, liking each other. I think the older you get, the more you really start to appreciate the fact that you like this life companion of yours. You're like, oh, I get it. Like, it's like the Prince song, Forever's a Mighty Long Time. And I'm here to tell you, you know.
There's something else. Right. I will tell you, Sam does make me nuts. He does make me nuts one thing. He's very messy. He's very messy. Like, I'm in a little bit of the neat.
Oh, thing. You and Mark would have made a good couple. He would have made a good couple. Because Mark is neat to the point of I feel like a slob and I'm very neat, but I feel like a slob because.
Okay. Well, I'm not that neat. I'm not like obsessive, like, but like, I like, I don't know. Like it's New York City. The world feels crazy. Yeah. I just want a little order.
I know. You have to get on a plane. You're going to shoot. The White Lotus.
I got a package. I'm trying not to overpack.
Like, will you do me a favor and journal every aspect of this experience for me? And just like, I want to hear everything. I want to know everything.
Maybe she can drop your name to Mike White.
I can't wait. I will say it's like, I feel very grateful.
Oh my God.
And so lucky. And like, I feel like you know, Charlie, like I opened the chocolate bar and I got a
golden
ticket.
You got the golden ticket. I mean, no.
That's what I feel like. I just feel so excited and I don't know what's about to happen.
It's going to be amazing.
And yeah, and that's, I'm really excited. It's exotic.
It is. It's very as Chris Walken once said, it's exotic.
It's very exotic and I feel so excited. Listen, I'm excited to go and I feel very excited to have Palm Royale and this happening simultaneously. I feel very excited.
Oh my gosh, you are like back-to-back hits. She's a hit maker.
Well, let's hope they're hits.
She is a hit maker. Okay, do you hear me, everybody? Let's give it up for Leslie Bibb. Iconic.
Thanks, guys. Did we talk about anything?
We did. We talked about everything.
Speak of Sam, come here.
Let me see. Oh, wait. You can show me his ass
then,
right
can
now.
I take out? Come here, Cuckoo. Come here. Say hi to Kelly. You're going to see her tomorrow.
Hey, Kelly.
Here. Hey, Sam. How are you?
Kelly, how you doing? I'll see you tomorrow, huh?
Now, listen. I want you to know something. So, Leslie was just telling me about your great ass.
I think you have a great ass.
So, I would like to see some proof of that. And we could do it now or we could do it tomorrow. It's up to you.
Wear some tight pants tomorrow.
I love where this is going already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm already like, this is great.
Buckle up tomorrow. I want to see some tight fitting pants or no pants.
Wear,
just
wear a chap.
Huh?
Chaps. He's going to wear assless. He's going to wear assless chap.
Thank you.
You know that her husband hosts the show with her.
I know. I'm going to meet him tomorrow. I'm assuming he has a great hat.
He does.
I bet you he
has
does.
A great ass.
An ass off.
He has a great. We can have an ass off.
Did you see what he just did?
He just tossed it all. Yeah, I love it.
Hot yoga, hot sweaty clothes.
We're gonna downward dog. You're gonna get downward dog, and our audience is gonna feast their eyes on that hot ass of yours. You know what? I can die now.
This is gonna be fun.
All right. Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it.
Very, very nice to see you.
Oh my God, I love that is he naked?
No, he's wearing
new tighties,
like tan pants.
I thought that I was like, oh, did I just see his rear end?
No, he's wearing like pants.
I was like, oh wow, he really is like Mark. Like he's taking his pants off right behind Leslie on this camera. I'm just gonna sit here quietly and see what I can see.
All right,
honey.
Enjoy.
Bon voyage. Safe journey.
Thanks again. Thank you.
Well, that was fun.
Oh my God, she's amazing.
She really is amazing.
She's
I love
so
that she goes.
Fun.
She goes. Did I say anything? I thought he was naked. I was like, oh wow, he took his pants off. That's cool.
Wow.
They're really like chill about
fun.
That was amazing.
They're chill about everything in that house. Is that it?
That's it.
That's it. Well, don't forget. I know I did this a lot last season. Actually, I didn't. I would forget to do it, and then Jam would have to remind me. But that's it. So make sure you tell all of your friends about us. It's season two.
Woo! They should get
with the program. Get with the program now. If not now, when? If not you, who?
Yeah.
That's what I say. All right. Talk off camera with you next week, everybody. Bye-bye. Woo! Let's Talk Off Camera with Kelly Ripa is a production of Melojo Productions with help from Goat Rodeo. Our theme song is Follow Me from APM Music. From Melojo, our team is Kelly Ripa, Mark Consuelos, Albert Bianchini, Jan Chalet, Devin Schneider, Michael Halpern, Jacob Small, Roz Therian, Seth Gronquist, and Julia Desch from Goat Rodeo. Our team is Kara Schillen, Megan Nadolski, Max Johnston, Isabel Kirby McGowan, and Rebecca Seidel. Additional sound design by Terrence Bernardo. This show is powered by Stitcher.